1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your Turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's your turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and I'll be hosting this edition of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. As always, I encourage you to visit my organization's website. You can do that by going to www.cfif.org. That stands for Center for Individual Freedom.org. If you happen to miss any of the interviews or if you just want to re-listen to one of them, we do post those up. It takes us a couple of days, sometimes a week or so, to get them up there, but I hope that you will do that and also sign up for the free Lunchtime Liberty update. Well, my first guest this afternoon is Christopher Horner. He's an attorney and he serves as a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in matters related to international environmental issues and climate policy. He is an acknowledged expert on global warming legislation and regulation, and he has spoken before the Senate committees, many Senate committees, and the European Parliament. He is also the author of the recently released book. It's called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming and Environmentalism. And as you may recall, we recently had the author on of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the South, a very, very popular program, a popular book. So I'm sure that this edition with Chris Horner will be equally as popular. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I want to let people know that they can pull up your website. I know that there may be some women out there who may, in fact, want to do this because I've got it up. And just for you folks out there, Chris is kind of a cross between Cooper Anderson and Richard Gere. I'm sure you've heard that before.
The people at the subway near my office seem to think I'm Anderson Cooper until I open my mouth.
Oh, there you go. Well, first, if you would, please tell us about the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Oh, and by the way, let me give out that email, that website address. It's www.cei.org, and that does stand for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Tell us about the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
CEI is a classical liberal think tank promoting the interests of limited government, open markets, and free trade. It's what liberalism used to be before the term was hijacked in America. It's what liberalism is in Australia with Prime Minister John Howard.
I gotcha. Okay, and you've been with them for how long?
Probably about 1999.
Okay, and you have a brand new book out. I think it came out just last month, if I'm right.
Yeah, this month.
This month. What are we still in, February?
We still are in February.
Okay. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming and Environmentalism. What's global warming? In your definition, what is global warming?
My definition is, I'll use the conventional definition of an increase in the global mean surface temperature, which means those places where we measure on the surface of the Earth. Now, that's a little distorted because greenhouse warming is actually an atmospheric theory. We're talking about the troposphere warming and then the heat re-radiating down to the surface. But because we actually shot up satellites in the late 70s in response to catastrophic man-made global cooling panic, and we did detect that there was no appreciable warming or cooling in the atmosphere, the debate has revolved around surface temperature. That's misleading for a lot of reasons, but as everybody knows, it's warmer on a parking lot than in a grassy field, and that's one reason the surface temperature has gone up. The folks claim they've taken account for that. If you look at the data I present in my book, it's quite obviously they've not done so sufficiently. And one other thing, in the 1990s, very early 1990s, about 1990 in fact, the Russians, among other people, had other things to do than maintain their surface measuring stations. And the world shut down fully one-third of the measuring stations, and suddenly we had, coincidentally, the chart is very powerful. I've reproduced it twice in my book. The world's hottest decade, it spiked immediately upon closing one-third of the world's measuring stations, including many of them in Siberia. Again, the folks say they've taken account of that. If you look at the charts reproduced in my book, you'll see that's probably not true.
So that fits with your myth number one. It's getting hotter in here, true or false. I mean, when you account for, I mean, they claim, as you said, that they've accounted for the closing of these temperature stations, but, you know, it's questionable.
It's questionable, and it's not just that. It's warm right now, or it's cool right now, so long as you tell me what year to use as the baseline. If we start in the medieval warming period, it's cool now. If we start in 1650 during the Dark Ages, it's warm. If we start in the 1930s, it's slightly cooler. If we start in the 1970s, it's warmer. So it's the baseline, stupid, to paraphrase a political analyst. And the fact is, it's cooling and warming. You just tell me what baseline or what answer you want, and I'll tell you. The fact is, though, I mean, these are fun things to point out at cocktail parties, but if you want to get serious about the discussion, it's time to, let's say, what is the consensus that we've heard about global warming? It's three things. We have experienced, based upon what we use to measure, an increase in the surface temperature of the Earth, where we measure it, where we still measure it, about 0.6 of a degree Celsius warming in the past 100-plus years since the end of the Little Ice Age in the mid-late 19th century. Of course, periods following Little Ice Ages warm, by definition. That's a consensus. We also know that greenhouse gas concentrations have gone up since then, greenhouse gases being mostly produced by Mother Nature, water vapor being the biggest, then carbon dioxide. We exhale it as well. It also comes from combustion. Plants breathe it in and produce oxygen. It's not carbon monoxide, as many people get it confused, including senators. And that man contributed to that greenhouse gas increase in concentrations. And so man, therefore, likely has a role. Now, they said the same thing in the 70s about global cooling. Well, emissions are going up, temperatures going down. It just makes sense that man's at fault. Now emissions are going up, temperatures going up. It just makes sense man's at fault. They can't both just make sense. They don't both just make sense. We know the CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere do not correlate with temperature, unless you try to be very clever, like Al Gore and say in the last 30 years. But that's an artifact of the data. If you look over the past century, they don't correlate. If you look over the past two centuries, they don't correlate. Solar activity and cosmic waves correlate with surface temperature. It's not that simple, but those are simple facts to use to destroy some of the myths.
All right. Well, I've heard the rhetorical question, would there be tornadoes if there were no trailer parks? And I guess when it comes to global warming, I have to ask you, would there be a global warming debate if there were not a Hollywood?
That's a pretty good question, because they certainly are perpetuating it. We know a couple of things. Hollywood loves activism, and this is end-of-days activism.
What do you mean by that?
It's activism that actually allows them something better. It allows them, if you watch the Oscars, I didn't, but I've heard clips endlessly on radio shows, it allows them to buy indulgences from the High Church of Global Warming, in which they pay to be, quote, carbon neutral, so that they can have their very expensive, very energy-intensive confabs, and then pay people who own windmills that will turn or generally not turn, regardless of whether Hollywood pays them, for certificates of paper saying, I purchased carbon-free energy. So they still emitted hundreds of thousands of tons of CO2 into the air, just like with Al Gore's concerts coming up. But they wave around a flag saying, look at me, I have a green enviro guilt, get out of jail free card. This is perfect for Hollywood. It's perfect for politicians who like nothing better than an issue that allows them to say, I'm here to save you. And no issue allows a politician that greater opportunity than with this, because guess what? Even the most severe thing ever proposed to purportedly address catastrophic man-made global warming, it's called the Kyoto Protocol, according to its own champions, under no circumstance, under no set of assumptions, would have any detectable influence on climate using the most sophisticated instrumentation we have. It's the first of 30 steps, they say. We must act now. It wouldn't do anything. It would, according to the Clinton administration, cost 5 times the cost of the Iraq War every year for no detectable impact, but gee, Hollywood would feel better. So that's a long way of saying, yes, the elites are pushing this issue, and it's going to have to be the average Joe and Josephine like you and me to say, wait a second, the data don't support what you're saying, and you're trying to cost me a lot of money that my family can't afford for no reason.
What about the whole issue debate surrounding hurricanes? And you are on the air right here in Santa Rosa County and its environs, where we were hammered by Hurricane Ivan. Hurricane Dennis came right over us. We certainly are close enough to feel the effects of Katrina. What do you say to all that?
Well, of course, we were promised after the severe 2005 hurricane season, which was long predicted resumption of a 40-50-year cycle. It was very noisy down there 40-50 years ago. I show you NOAA's data in my book. we were promised that 2005 would be recreated in 2006 and therefore on, because this is what happens when man messes with nature. Of course, you all know better than I do that not one storm, not one hurricane force storm hit the coast of the United States in 2006. So that was a bit of a disappointment, and ABC News suddenly went from saying that hurricanes are climate to saying, oh, a lack of hurricanes is just weather, and therefore we're not going to draw any conclusion from it. The fact of the matter is, MIT chaired professor Richard Lindzen is an expert in this. He says it's simple physics, which would mean the storms would be less severe if the poles got warmer, as would be expected, because these storms are brought about largely by a flux that is derivative of the distinction, the difference in the heat at the equator and the poles. If the poles got warmer, the storms would be milder, according to Dr. Lindzen. William Gray, who, until you start asking him to pin storms on man, is the most sought-after commentator on storms, because he developed our storm prediction technology and system. William Gray says there's an inverse proportion believed between someone's level of knowledge or understanding of the issue and how strongly they claim man causes hurricanes or contributes to their strength. In other words, he says the more you know about the subject, the less you would say that. These are people who know what they're talking about. Hurricane experts have come out in a letter I reproduced in my book, including those from MIT like Kerry Emanuel, who are inaccurately cited as claiming man's driving these hurricanes. And they came out with a letter saying, no, you're misquoting me. They called those misquotes absurd on their website and said, here's our problem with hurricanes. And this may not sit well with your listeners, but it's true. If you build more in a storm's path, you're going to have increased storm damage. Now, the people who live there for a reason. They want to. The only difference is the taxpayers don't need to be subsidizing construction of million-dollar lobbyist and lawmaker homes on, for example, the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's where you're getting the increased storm damage in great part, and it's because of bad federal policy providing insurance where the market would never provide any. So it's kind of like saying high tide isn't a flood unless you build a house there during low tide. Same idea. The more we build in the storm's path, the more we better make sure we build very strong, ensure we have institutions such as insurance, communications, and transport to get us out of there in time, and as we learned after Katrina, not overly rely on the federal government to take care of us when bad weather hits, because it will.
Okay, so then let's talk a little bit about Al Gore. You have a chapter called Al Gore's Inconvenient Ruse. Now, he has made projections of 20-foot sea level rise. That doesn't seem to quite jive with something that recently came out from the UN, am I right?
You're exactly right, and it's absolutely amazing. And he's going to come and testify twice between in the spring before Congress. He won't agree to having anybody testify with him, just like he won't agree to interviews with anybody who knows what they're talking about. He's canceled several high-profile, months-long confirmed interviews with Bjorn Lomborg, with Fleming Rose, with a New Zealand journalist, because it turned out the people knew what they were talking about. He makes this up. The reason Al Gore makes up 20 feet sea level rise is because the truth isn't scary. Here's the truth about sea level rise. We are still at an ice age, but we are in an interglacial. That is, most of the planet's not covered by glaciers. This is a period we enjoy, all right? We will be in a what's called a glaciation again. In between glaciations, sea levels rise. In the current interglacial, we know that over the past 10,000-plus years, sea levels have been rising about 8 inches per century. So sea levels rise. It's what they do in interglacials. We should expect sea levels to continue to rise 8 inches per century. The UN has had the figure much higher. They include fairly alarmist types, and a lot of very credible scientists have dropped out of this process. But what happened is, as you know, the UN came out with their fourth assessment report 2-3 weeks ago, and they actually cut in half their projection, a best case, best guess range, from just 6 years ago when they were also sure. They cut it in half from not 20 feet, not 3 feet, which is where it was, but the UN's alarmists say the best guess range is between 7 inches and 17 inches, sea level rise in the next century. And by the way, they rise 8 inches per century anyway, which is to say they noticed no detectable increase in the rate of sea level rise. In fact, the rate of sea level rise slowed down in the second half of the 20th century. Al Gore is making this up because the truth isn't scary, and that's a fact.
And let me make sure that I heard you right. He's projecting 20-foot sea level rise, 20 feet.
Says between 7 and 17 inches.
Hmm.
which includes what we've seen every century, 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually slowed down at the end of the 20th century. But you should still expect about 8 inches, maybe 12. Who knows? UN could, you know, be right. But Al Gore's making it up is the point. He's
right.
making it up because the truth isn't scary. Now, if I told you the sea levels are going to rise 8 inches in the next century, people might get afraid. But you have to remember, that's what they've been doing every century. Mm-hmm. Sea levels rise. It's what they do.
Okay, I need to take a real quick break, Chris. Can you stay with us through the break, and then
Absolutely.
We'll have about 8 minutes when we come back?
Sure.
Okay, we're talking with Chris Horner. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're talking about his recently released book, Hot Off the Press, I guess pun intended. It's called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We're talking with Chris Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we are talking about global warming and his new book, called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming. We've had several different authors on with different topics from this series on the Politically Incorrect Guide. It's a wonderful book. It's, I hate to call it a, you know, one of the dummy series, although, I mean, it really, you know, if you don't know a whole lot about global warming, this is the book you want to pick up because it's got the facts, the chart, all the information you need to draw your own conclusions. And that's really what I think each of us should be encouraged to do. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Look, you can begin with the basics. And if you want, I refer you to what the scientific literature says and refer you to it. I give you the abstracts, I give you the English-to-English translation, and I give you the citations if you want to pursue it. So I think what we did is we covered this for, you know, one of the blurbs from Dr. Fred Singer said this is a, or maybe former Chairman Jim Inhofe of the Senate Environment Committee said this is a must-read for any high school or college student. I agree with that because, again, it covers it at the basic level. It covers it in the very detailed level. I provide data, and I provide explanation if you don't want to roll up your sleeves and get into it. So, yeah, you've got to start somewhere, and unfortunately, most people start with the conventional wisdom. They have families to raise, livelihoods to pursue, and they know what they hear. And the critical mass is certainly there. Man is killing the planet, the terrible twos, too many people using too many resources, taking up too much space on Hollywood's planet. And they all got to go. Well, this provides the facts, it provides the history, provides the media's contribution, and provides some interesting motivations, including from corporate America, which are going to surprise some people.
All right, I want to talk a little bit, and you have quite a few pages in your book in the chapter called Getting Hot in Here, devoted to this whole hockey stick graph. Just so the listeners can follow along, can you talk for just a couple minutes what the deal is with this hockey stick scandal?
Yes. 3 weeks ago, the UN issued a report. It was the fourth assessment report. 6 years ago was the third assessment report. The third assessment report had something called the hockey stick in it, and it was cited as the smoking gun. It was the smoking gun universally for proof. The man was heating up the climate. What happened was it purported to recreate temperature for the past 1,000 years, slightly cooling but stable throughout the entirety of the time, betraying what everybody knows occurred during the Little Ice Age and the medieval warming when the Vikings were farming Greenland. In a sense, it overturned every history book in the civilized world. And it said, guess what? It looked like a hockey stick laid on its side, and then with a stable climate, in this case temperature, that suddenly spiked upward when industrial man came onto the scene. That was nonsense, and it was debunked as nonsense for the following reason. A, of course, the historical records were quite clear, but also some people started asking questions because who knows this was not true. Two Canadian, geological engineer and one... Let's see, it was a statistician, two from Canada, Ross McKittrick and McIntyre McKittrick. They got a hold of some of the background data, some of the codes, some of the relative information, but not enough, even though the taxpayers funded it. And they were able to figure out that, in fact, the data used by this gentleman, Michael Mann, did show the Little Ice Age and the medieval climate optimum. But his calculation, his formula, his model... It was like a goat. No matter what you put in the front end, the same thing's going to come out the back end. They Monte Carlo'd this. They put in random numbers, and every time, they got a hockey stick. In other words, this was junk. And yet it was put in by, guess what? It was put in the UN report and featured by a reviewer who happened to be the same guy who created it. And he dined out on this for 6 years, 5 years, until Congress got a hold of it and said, look, taxpayer money was used to fund this. I'm going to get a look at this. And McCarthyism cries rung out. But instead, the chairman of the Science Committee, a congressman from the Sierra Club named Sherry Bollert from upstate New York, asked the National Academies of Science not to look at the hockey stick, but to look at the critiques of the hockey stick. In other words, he circled the wagon. And what happened was the National Academies of Science, despite that charge, that mandate, came back and slammed this thing in very genteel scientific establishment language, but absolutely debunked it. Now, in my book, I detail how the media absolutely turned this result on its head. They went from a report that slammed this, that said the answer is not found in here. It may be out there somewhere. And that it was only plausible, but it wasn't represented in the data. And CNN said it affirmed the hockey stick. The Boston Globe said it affirmed AP. Everybody said this validated the claim that this is the hottest year in 1,000 years. CNN also came out and said this proved that it was the hottest year in 2,000 years, when in fact the National Academy said this was garbage. And so guess what? When the UN's next report came out, here's how you pressure test whether the media was lying, which is what it was knowing, or whether they in fact were telling the truth. Was this smoking gun from the third report even mentioned in the fourth report? The answer, no. It was airbrushed out. There's no mention of why. There's no mention of it. It just disappeared. It was made a non-person because it has been debunked. And that's what you need to be careful with. It's an excellent question because it's proof that when you're told, I have here in my hand a study that proves this, you need to... Peer review doesn't mean much because you have peer-reviewed studies saying exactly the opposite thing.
Right.
Peer review means I took your numbers and they added up the same way you said they did. Peer review does not mean you gave me your background work and your codes and I determined if your numbers were right.
Sure. Yeah, you've got to do all that. Well, Chris, we've got about 20 seconds left. Again, the book is The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming and Environmentalism. It's written by Christopher Horner. And I do have to ask you before we go, does Greenpeace really steal your trash?
Not anymore. I moved behind some gates. But they did for a while. They were stealing mine and a gentleman they slammed named Phil Cooney with the White House. At the same time in 2005, I think it was five.
Okay.
And I knew this was going on. And I have two large breed dogs. And it was the summer. So you can imagine the fun I had.
You had a great time. All right, Chris. Well, thank you. We had a great time this afternoon. We appreciate it. Okay.